Hey, everybody. It's Jay coming at you with a simple request. Just take that podcast survey. It's right there at the top of the show notes. Click the link. It'll take you less than 5 minutes, just a couple questions to help me figure out the stuff I can tell to advertisers so they can give me money and I can make the show better. And who doesn't want the show to be better, right? It's a good idea for everybody involved. So click that link. You can take it while you're listening to this episode, which features Jacob Trimmer talking about The Nightmare Before Christmas and unloading on my inner sad goth emo child and a bunch of other sad goth emo children along the way. Take the survey. Oh, man, I'm so nervous. Just enjoy the episode, guys. Thanks. Let me tell you something. Boston makes me feel good. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today...
Did you forget my name?
Just for a hot second. It's Jacob Trimmer. I almost called you Tim.
Oh, okay.
That's what I almost did, because we were just talking about Tim Groeschel.
Groeschel, yeah.
Tim Groeschel, who you have a podcast with now, yes?
Yeah. And also, you're not the first person to call me Tim. Like, Tony Bartoloni called me Tim the first 5 times he met me.
Yeah.
Just because he did not realize I wasn't Tim.
I mean, you guys do have a similar build. You got a similar, like, maybe a racist white man look.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it is what it is. But you are not Tim. You are Trim, Jacob Trimmer.
Yes. That kind of rhymes, I guess.
A little bit. And you are here to talk about a movie that, based on, again, looking at you, this does not seem like a movie that you would not like, but you hate it.
Yeah, you would assume that this is a movie that's right up my alley.
Exactly.
I get that.
I assume you have, by the way, it's A Nightmare Before Christmas. You look like a guy who's got, like, some Jack Skellington pillows. And I say this as a guy who also had a Jack Skellington pillow. I felt like we were kindred spirits on this one, and yet we are not.
No, I... It's a movie I had to pretend to like for a long time.
Okay.
Because, like, I had a very close friend who was obsessed with the movie to the point where she actually had a Jack Skellington tattoo.
Oh, wow.
And now that we're not friends, I'm free to hate this movie as much as I want. That's pretty freeing.
Did you find, like, that lying about liking this movie to your friend hurt your friendship?
No. And also, it didn't come up much.
Oh, that's good.
It was just like... whenever it did come up, I had to just pretend like, oh, yeah, that's a fine movie.
It is totally just like fine. It's like, okay.
Uh-huh.
But it's definitely, I don't know. I didn't get a chance. It's one of those things that's like, I'm not going to put it on the canon of like, this is a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
But it definitely has a certain kind of like place in my heart, I guess.
Because you were a sad kid.
Right. And I think that this is like one of those kind of movies. I've said this on the podcast a lot, but there are definitely movies that I feel like it makes sense to watch them at a certain time in your life and you'll appreciate them.
Okay.
And I don't know what your situation was with watching this movie, so I don't know what... Let's hear that story. I'm intrigued.
The story... I watched it when I was younger, like everyone did. It came out in 1993.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, 1993 stop motion animated musical dark fantasy Halloween Christmas film. That's a lot of qualifiers.
Most of those words sound like they would be in my Twitter bio.
Yeah. Directed by Henry Selick, produced and conceived by Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Tells the story of Jack Skellington, the king of Halloween Town, who stumbles through a portal to Christmas Town and decides to celebrate the holiday. It's quite a movie. It's real quirky.
One of the things with like what was it? The Tim Burton thing, it was like based on a poem he wrote or something like that. That's one of the things that kept popping up.
Yep.
It was like he wrote like a 3-stanza poem.
In 1982.
Yeah. And then that's what became the movie when he worked with Danny Elfman to make it. And so it's like, oh, Danny Elfman, it's going to be a great musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the weakest thing Danny Elfman's ever made.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. I listened to Oingo Boingo a lot growing up. And like, I know he's done a lot of music for a lot of movies. And then he made this. And like the opening song, though, this is Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
It's so repetitive and boring. It's a small world for goth kids. And they have Marilyn Manson sing it. So like, it's supposed to be edgy, I guess.
Wait, Marilyn Manson's doing a voice on that?
He did the song.
What?
Or they falsely accredit it to him. But like, I looked it up and like, it was written by Danny Elfman. All the music's composed. But then that one song was supposed to be sung by Marilyn Manson.
What?
I could be wrong, but like, that's what it was credited to him.
Oh, I know what you're doing. It's the, you're looking at the bonus disc, which contained covers of five of the film songs.
He did his own version of
it.
Okay.
Of course, I think this is probably one of the most Hot Topic friendly track listings of all time. Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco, Marilyn Manson, Fiona Apple, and a band I've never heard of called She Wants Revenge.
It gives more credence to, like, I told my friend the other night that, like, every time, like, a kid cuts himself and gets away with it, he gets a Jack Skellington teardrop. Those bands just give more credence to that. Fall Out Boy, really?
Fall Out Boy, man. Oh, also, hold on. There's Nightmare Revisited, which also features. Good God! All right. Do you want to guess some of the? Can you guess some of the bands that are on this album? I'm gonna give you one right off the bat.
Okay, give me one to like work with.
Korn.
Korn. Okay.
Korn featured on a Disney soundtrack.
Disturbed.
Nope.
Tool.
Nope. You're sort of in the right direction.
Rage Against the Machine.
And very close. Rise Against.
Oh, man. None of these are bands that I listen to.
I don't listen to any of these bands either.
So trying to guess just Hollywood Undead.
No, now it's and it goes from that to like hard opposite direction, like weird indie. Like you've got Plain White Tees.
Oh, it's probably like Less Than Jake and Modest Mouse.
Shiny Toy Guns. Yeah.
Okay.
You've got the Polyphonic Spree is on here.
What?
All American Rejects.
Polyphonic Spree. That's a real band?
Yeah, you've never heard of the Polyphonic Spree?
It sounds like a festival put together by people with shitty mustaches.
It's basically a cult that is a band. I'm going to show you a picture of the Polyphonic Spree because if you've never seen them, you will understand that you're not that far off. This is the Polyphonic Spree.
Okay, that's a cult. Yeah
that's a cult. It's just a cult, guys. If you haven't listened to the Polyphonic Spree, don't worry. You can hear them sing Town Meeting Song on Nightmare Revisited. By the way, reading this about the soundtrack is making me dislike this movie more and more.
Good.
As we talk
I'm
about
doing
it.
Doing my job.
You might be turning me on this one. Okay, so you watch the movie when you're young.
Yeah, and it was just like it was mediocre. I never was into it. I didn't hate it until I started meeting people that were obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. Like, if I dislike something or I just don't care about something, if the fans of it are obnoxious, that's what will make me hate it. And, like, there are a lot of things I dislike about this movie. And the people, like, a lot of people told me, oh, it's such an underrated film.
Underrated?
That's what people have said about it. It's like, no, it's not underrated at all.
I think it's probably rated exactly where it should be.
I think it's rated higher. Like, if you go to a Halloween store any year, they have an entire section that's dedicated to Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
An entire Anytime. Section for one movie. The rest of Tim Burton's movies combined don't get as much space as Nightmare Before Christmas. It's supposed to be their penultimate Halloween movie. There's a movie literally called Halloween.
Right.
And that gets less space than Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's true. I mean, think about Tim Burton sort of has the market cornered on Halloween-related stuff anyway.
I don't know about that. Like, he's got like the weird, creepy, dark movies.
That's what I mean. I'm talking like movies that you can turn into Halloween costumes.
Yeah, I guess. But you could do that with anything. Anything could be a costume. This stuff's just kind of weird and creepy.
But people love weird and creepy. People love when Johnny Depp gets weird and creepy or Helena Bonham Carter gets weird and creepy.
Yeah, but then you know, like Beetlejuice was probably his best movie, and that was Michael Keaton.
True. Beetlejuice is great, but I don't see anyone wearing Beetlejuice costumes. I see tons of people wearing the fucking Mad Hatter costumes from Alice in Wonderland.
He started to get shittier with his movies the more he put Johnny Depp and his wife and everything.
Right.
Like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was awful.
Yep. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is real rough.
He turned like what was like a fun movie into I spent the whole movie like this guy might be a pedophile. Like it's too creepy in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Where there was nothing fun about that movie.
The implication is definitely there.
Yeah.
There's maybe some pieces of children in those candy bars.
At least with
the private stock.
At least with the Gene Wilder one, like he's just a murderer. Like I can get on board.
Yeah, listen, who doesn't want to murder a kid every once in a while?
I mean, people that have never been around a kid.
See? And that is why you guys should all watch the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movies. All right, so this movie, you watch it, and then you slowly start to meet people who love and are obsessed with this movie.
Yeah.
Now, I'm reading some of these reviews of when it came out, because I saw it when I was in high school, like I think my sophomore year maybe, which was okay. A very angsty time in my life.
That makes sense, yeah.
And I, you know, I'd heard a lot about it over the years, and it's only 76 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's barely feature length. Technically, I don't think it actually is feature length. I think feature length, you officially have to be like 80 minutes now.
It might have been different back when it was made, though.
Probably was.
Feature length might have been a different time limit.
I mean, it's in the 90s, so who knows? But I think there's a lot of stuff in here as far as the reviews go where they're talking about it being revolutionary for the time. And I think a lot of that is due to it being stop motion.
That's one thing I hate about the reviews and the fan base is they're always like, oh, but it took so long to make. It was so hard. And he did stop motion, even though it wasn't like a necessary thing anymore because it makes it look better. It doesn't look better.
Rotten Tomatoes holds this movie at 95%.
That's because it's reviewed by stupid people with internet access.
Roger Ebert gave a highly positive review for Nightmare. Ebert believed the film's visual effects were as revolutionary as Star Wars.
Wait, in a good way or a bad way?
In a good way.
Ugh.
He said that Nightmare was filled with imagination that carries us into a new world.
It doesn't dare carry you into a new world at all. It just combines two shitty worlds.
Are you not a holidays person?
I don't care about holidays that much. Also, both Halloween and Christmas have been, on a personal level, ruined for me. So I can still like enjoy the holiday, but I'm not obsessed with the holidays. And this, it just takes Christmas and Halloween and mashes them together. It takes like the elements of Beetlejuice, like as I mentioned that movie earlier, with like the dark, spooky stuff, and then Tim Allen's the Santa Claus.
Right.
Because the whole thing is Jack becoming Santa.
Right.
But it's also for selfish reasons.
Yeah, he becomes Santa because he wants to basically hijack the holiday.
Yeah, but the reason for that is he feels he's too good at Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and he's bored now.
Right.
So he's like, well, I want to steal the joy that they're having.
He's not even the mayor of Halloween Town.
No, but everyone hates the mayor. The mayor's a putz.
Well, yeah, of course, yeah, we always hate the mayor. The mayor's always a putz.
Keep in mind like how hard it is to shoot this movie. They still dedicate a whole scene to him walking upstairs and falling down. Like, that's how much they want you to hate the mayor, is they spent the time to make him fall over for no reason.
There's a lot of weird... This is kind of a, like, strangely political movie. I forgot about that
political.
Until we just brought it. Well, there's, like... You don't need to bring, a bumbling mayor into your Halloween world. This is basically, like, a coup being staged.
That's a fair point, too, because, like, there's no mayor in Christmastown.
No, you assume that Santa's probably the mayor, right? Or at least some sort of, like, a benevolent king.
He's just Santa Claus and then elves.
Right.
And then... You have like Halloween Town where it's the Pumpkin King who's the scariest monster,
right.
Which he's not.
He's definitely not.
The opening sequence has three monsters scarier than him.
Yep.
Right away, because there's the thing under the bed that's it's just glowing eyes and teeth.
Yep.
And as a kid, that's way more terrifying.
Oh, for sure.
And there's the thing under the stairs, which I've known grown adults that are still scared of stairs at night.
I mean, I lived in a house that had a closet under the stairs, and it was the scariest thing to be underneath. You don't know what's lurking under there.
Well, it's like the stairs where there's, how do I describe it? Like, instead of being like a solid staircase,
mm-hmm.
it's just stairs, and then there's like that opening underneath. It's not like a closet per se, but just space.
Yep, you're going to get snatched by something from underneath there. You don't want to get in there.
Yeah, and that's what that creature was, where it's like the tentacles of like snakes and shit like that. And it's like, okay, that's scarier than this weird skeleton in a zoot suit. And then, like, right after that, they introduce a clown that takes his own face off.
Sorry, I just forgot he is wearing a zoot suit this entire movie. Yeah. Like a fucking, like the Cherry Poppin' Daddies if the lead singer died. Okay, so anyway, so there's a clown who takes his face off. Clowns are scary.
A clown that rips his own face off for no reason. That's way more terrifying. But you're telling me that the skeleton is the scariest monster.
Also, if he's the Pumpkin King, why doesn't he have anything pumpkin-related as part of his body?
I mean,
why don't they just call him the Skeleton King?
I think that part I don't have any problem with, because I think the whole Pumpkin King thing, that's just a title that applies to anyone that's scary enough. I don't think it's necessarily like a unique thing that only he can be the Pumpkin King.
Like the Great Pumpkin from Charlie Brown.
Yeah, or Pumpkinhead.
Yep. Okay, all pumpkin-related things.
Yeah, they at least like Pumpkinhead looked pumpkin-y.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it's in the name, Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
You're supposed to look like that. If you're the Pumpkin King, I expect you to have some sort of a pumpkin-related visage about you, right?
Or at,
like,
at least
a crown that looks like a pumpkin.
That's fair. If they gave him like even a little bit of orange,
mm-hmm.
that would have been something.
Put some orange stripes on his zoot suit.
Or just give him like a pumpkin-y looking crown. That would have been simple.
Just something. There's it's so interesting. There's such like effusive praise.
Yeah.
This is obviously a movie for children, right?
I don't think so.
Well, I say that based off of the reviews, which basically all say, this is my favorite, and I hadn't read any of this until I started recording with you.
All right, what's the review
This
say?
Is my favorite portion of a review, where it says, I don't know who this guy is, James Berardinelli.
Okay.
Who is some sort of a film critic. James, if you're listening, tell me what you write for, because I don't know, but you have a Wikipedia page. The Nightmare Before Christmas has something to offer to just about everyone. For the kids, it's a fantasy celebrating two holidays. Accurate. For the adults, it's an opportunity to experience some light entertainment while marveling at how adept Hollywood has become of these techniques. There are songs, there are laughs, and a little romance. In short, The Nightmare Before Christmas does what it intends to, entertain. That's about the most bland,
yeah.
positive review of all time.
You could also apply, if you change a couple words, you could make that apply to pretty much any movie.
Yeah.
It's so bland.
But that's the thing about this, it's... Man, in retrospect, this movie really is, I feel like it's for kids, and I don't understand why adults are obsessed with this movie still.
I don't think any of the aspects of the movie actually appeal to children. I think what they appeal to are, and that's like exactly who's taken the movie over, like edgy high school goth kids.
Right.
And like the main character, if you look at him from the outside, he's so unlikable and douchey. The opening sequence is everyone praising him.
Right.
And then after that, it's him saying, I'm too good at this. I'm bored now. I need something. Something's missing from my life. Everyone loves me, and I'm so good at my job. And then the whole love interest thing, she's a slave, and he's fine with it.
Sally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the only slave in the movie, and he's just fine with it.
Sally is a victim of puppet trafficking. This is a real issue throughout the film.
Like, there's no explanation for any of like why she's the only slave in all of Halloween Town. It's just a thing that everyone knows that weird Jewish doctor owns her.
Mm-hmm.
And Finkelstein, that's his name. That's like, okay, you're telling me that's not supposed to be a Jewish character?
That's true. You're right. Dr. Finkelstein.
Yeah.
A mad scientist and father of Sally. He's actually, I think that they probably realized what they did when they mentioned him by name as Dr. Finkelstein. They're like, wait a minute, uh-oh, because he's not listed in the credits as that. He's mentioned that by name in the film, but in the credits, he's listed as evil scientist.
Yeah.
Because I think Tim Burton and Henry Selick were like, ugh, we might have stoked some stereotypes.
Well, the two like diversity characters in the entire movie are Finkelstein, the evil doctor.
Yep.
And Oogie Boogie.
Right.
Who's the only character voiced by a black voice actor.
Yep.
And he is the only one that is like a voodoo jazz song. Everyone else gets like boring, like bland Danny Elfman voice.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets this like voodoo-y jazz, like, look at me, I'm spooky song.
And Oogie Boogie not only is voiced by the only character voiced by a black actor, they were afraid that the NAACP was going to call him racist.
Well, I mean, it was just, what, a few months ago where Tim Burton said, like, black people don't fit the image of his movies.
Wait, what?
I don't know if that was the exact wording, but they asked him,
God.
Like, why he doesn't have more black actors in his movies. And it basically boiled down to like, well, he's going for a specific look with his movie. So he hires people that look a certain way. And that was basically the extent of his explanation.
I missed that completely.
I'll have to like look at it. Like, I'll look up an interview and you can like put it in the show notes or something like that.
Well, I'm going to look up right now.
Okay,
The Nightmare Before Christmas being racist, because that's something that I literally read. Danny Elfman was afraid that this was going to happen, and then his predictions came true.
Well,
now I want to find out.
Also, when you look at like what holidays they celebrate, there's only seven. Like I wrote them down just to like make sure I don't forget one.
Yeah, what are the holidays?
They have Valentine's Day, St. Patty's Day, Easter, the 4th of July, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas.
That's a weird selection.
That's it. They took like two that are American-only holidays, really, because like Thanksgiving and 4th of July, and then ones that are based around like Christian bank holidays. But like, there's no Hanukkah, there's no Kwanzaa, there's no Ramadan, there's no, they don't even have New Year's. Like, that's another one that would, like, if they're really like, that's pretty Americanized and they don't have that for some reason. No Chinese New Year, no Puerto Rican Day Parade, nothing. It's just these seven. And Tim Burton even said, like, he doesn't want to do anything with any of the other holidays. Like, he actually specifically said, like, he doesn't want to do Jack Visits Thanksgiving World.
Right. Well, Thanksgiving World's boring.
Yeah.
But at least he's not overtly going out and being like, I don't want to check out what Juneteenth is like in this
I don't think he knows what Juneteenth is.
He probably doesn't know what Juneteenth is. He probably thinks – I think he's probably thinking people are just pronouncing June 19th wrong.
Yeah.
Here we go.
But real quick, like, if you don't want to do anything with any of the holidays except Christmas and Halloween, then you don't need a room with all the doors for all these other holidays.
Right.
You could just have like just these two for whatever reason. And then don't show any other ones. There's no reason for it.
Yeah, you don't really need to bring any of it in.
No, and I mean, St. Paddy's Day and Valentine's Day, really?
Those aren't even like, you know what, man, you're bringing up so many things. This movie, why do edgy people co-opt this movie?
Because they feel like Jack is supposed to represent everything they wish they were in high school.
Cool.
Yeah. It's for kids that weren't popular in high school. And now you have this character who is the weird guy, the creepy guy, just like they were. But everyone loves him for it. And he gets the love interest for no reason. Like, he's a dick to her the whole movie. But she's obsessed with him the entire time anyways.
That's true.
Her whole thing is like she sees this vision of his plan going wrong. And he's like, now you're wrong. Hey, make me this suit. And then she tries to warn him again. She's like, no, ignore that. And then he keeps ignoring her. And then at the end of the movie, Santa Claus is like, she was right the whole time. And he doesn't even apologize at that point. He's just like, okay. And then they move on.
Right.
So like, he's an asshole to her the entire movie. He doesn't help her escape from slavery. She has to do that all on her own.
That's true.
And she escapes from slavery specifically to help him. Like, the first thing she does is jump out of a window and like splat all over the ground, restitch herself up to bring him wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then she like has to duck and hide from Finkelstein for the rest of the movie, trying to help him and try to protect him and warn him. And then never says thank you. Never acknowledges that she was helpful. At the very end, like, she tries to save Santa Claus and fails because obviously she has to fail so that Jack can do it.
Right, of course. Because he's the savior of the movie.
Even though there's no like real explanation for how he does it, he just kind of just shows up. He had no way of knowing Oogie Boogie had them.
Mm-hmm.
But he just randomly shows up at Oogie Boogie's place. And he goes from being on the roof to just being there and keeping them out of, like, because he tries to dump them in the fire.
Right.
And then the camera shows them getting tilted into the fire, and then there's nothing. And then the thing rotates back. Now he's there, and Santa Claus and Sally are safe. Really? Like, the climax of this movie, and you're not even going to show how it happens?
I don't understand. Yeah, it's such a cop-out.
Yeah.
Because also, the whole crux of the movie is Jack wanting to go. Jack basically saying, hey, I can do Christmas and do it right. And then he fails horribly at doing Christmas right.
He fails so bad that the U.S. Army shoots him down.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad you are at this. You terrified the populace with severed heads and evil toys to where I think it might have actually been like a battleship.
Yeah, he gets taken down by like whatever version of an aircraft carrier Disney feels comfortable with.
Yeah, it looked like it could have been some kind of ship. Like, it's just,
they scrambled the jets.
they're shooting up at him.
Right.
And they blow him up, and then everyone in Halloween Town freaks out thinking he's dead.
Of course. I think they probably, honestly, it wouldn't have been that bad if Jack Skellington died in this movie.
No.
Because then you get to have Santa, like, you don't have to have him get captured or killed. That's a completely auxiliary plot point.
Right.
You don't, none of that needs to happen.
Oogie Boogie was purely there to serve as like an extra bad guy.
Right.
But also, there's no reason he's a bad guy.
You don't need him as a character.
It also didn't make sense to make him the bad guy.
Right.
Halloween Town's whole thing is being scary and terrifying people. He was good at that. Like, even Jack was like, like, this guy's supposed to be terrifying and scary, but Halloween Town decides we don't like this specific scary and terrifying guy.
Right. Because he has a gambling addiction, so we can't deal with that. He's playing dice in the corner, being all shady. Man, I wonder what race he's supposed to be. I think now that we're talking about it more, and I'm really thinking that this is what I think would save this movie.
Okay.
Is if they got rid of any ambiguity about Jack being a good character, if they gave him basically like, if he's trying to take over Christmas, but you also fully see that he's like an anti-hero.
Okay.
And if they actually leaned into the darkness of the movie instead of it being light and fun for children and also throwing in a bunch of nonsense, like extra villains and stuff that you don't need.
Yeah.
I think that that is the only thing that could potentially save this movie.
Possibly. But like part of, I guess, being an anti-hero is overcoming your own, I guess, shitty qualities that would make you an anti-hero rather than a hero.
Right.
And he doesn't, they don't bother to do that with him.
Exactly.
Because his whole like ending moment with Christmas is just, I'm just going to go back to being the pumpkin king. Trying different things is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets mad at everyone else.
Right, that's like, true.
I did everything I could. Why didn't this succeed? Because you're bad at it.
Just stay in your lane, dude. No, go ahead, go ahead.
I mean, the staying in the lane thing, like, if he wants to get involved in Christmas, he could have done it without trying to take it over and just be Santa.
Mm-hmm.
He could have, like, they could have done, like, more of a, if they wanted to do a Christmas movie, it could have been him learning about Christmas. Or if they wanted to do a Halloween movie, maybe they just, like, he just tries to bring the influence of Halloween to Christmas in a better way. Instead, it was just, he finds a new place and just immediately conquers it.
Yeah.
And then is awful at it. Because he doesn't realize that Christmas doesn't need any severed heads, a crushed spider in a Russian nesting doll.
Right.
It's just like, oh, here, let's throw some grotesque things into stereotypical Christmassy things, and then we'll just give it to children.
You know how Disney movies now, they're doing all these live action versions, quote unquote live action, because they're not really live action, but of their animated stuff from back in the day. I would actually really enjoy seeing like a R-rated version of Nightmare Before Christmas, and not R-rated for sex or anything, just because if he's giving out like dismembered body parts in presents and stuff like that, I think that's fun to see. I want to see some kids get terrified by what happens. It's like it is kind of like a fucked up version of the Santa Claus.
You just want to see the end scene from Seven, but over the span of a whole movie.
Exactly. What's not to love about that? That's the real spirit of Christmas, is families coming together, overseeing a severed head under the tree, and little toes in a stocking instead of coal.
They've done kind of things like that. Like there's there's the original Black Christmas and the remake of Black Christmas.
Right.
Where it's like a serial killer slasher during the holidays. So you get all like the stuff of heads under the trees and like getting stabbed with candy canes and shit like that. And then like, I think Jack Frost might have taken place during like, I think one of them, they probably had to have a Christmas version of that at one point.
They have, let's see, because they have, well, there's two versions of Jack Frost, right? There's the slasher one. There's the slasher one.
Yeah.
And then is Michael Keaton in the other Jack Frost?
It wouldn't surprise me. He used to have a career.
I think he's the dad. He's back now. He's leaned into this other realm of his career.
Yeah, with like Birdman and all that.
Yeah, and The Founder.
Okay.
Spider-Man, which I haven't seen, but I hear he's great in it.
He did do a good job as Vulture. That's fair.
So my question to you, besides if there's anything else that can be done to fix this movie, which doesn't sound like you think there is.
I think they could if they picked like a tone for the movie. And they went hot and cold with it. It was like happy then sad, then happy then sad, then happy then sad. And it was very simplistic in how they did it. It was like he's sad because he's too cool.
Right.
And then he's happy because he finds Christmas. Then he's sad because he can't figure out Christmas. Then he's happy because he thinks he figured out Christmas. Then he's sad because there's fog. Then he's happy because his dog works like Rudolph for some reason.
Right.
And then he's sad because he's bad at Christmas. And then he's happy because Santa Claus fixes up his mess. That's essentially the movie. And then like they throw in Oogie Boogie to be nothing. Like he just sings one song. He fake tortures Santa Claus. And then he gets weird about Sally's foot. She distracts him with her severed leg in a window. And then he goes over and immediately takes her shoe off and sniffs the foot. Like that's...
There's weird shit going on in this movie, man. What's up with all the foot fetish stuff? What's up with all of the weird sexual undertones in this entire movie?
That was really the only like, I guess, sexual undertone that I saw.
That's the only one. I'm being facetious.
But it was just such a weird, like there's no reason for this. Like, why is he tickling her foot? You don't need to dedicate time to that.
Nope.
And then she fails at distracting him for longer than half a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because he pulls the leg and it just comes out of the window.
Man, Can you imagine all of the kids who saw this movie and then decided to purchase a real doll so they could tickle their own ragdoll woman's foot?
I don't want to think. You know what?
That's what some of these kids want under their Christmas tree.
There weren't real dolls back when Nightmare Before Christmas first came out.
True.
So it's just the weird broken kids of today that are doing it.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's not the worst thing they're doing.
Is there anything, speaking of the weird broken kids who are fans of this movie, as we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to say directly to those kids who are now teenagers to adults?
Let's see. I had something for them.
We've shined a lot of light on this movie, I think, over the course of this episode, but I feel like you might have a direct address. I feel something coming up in you.
Directly to those kids, you're not special. You're not unique. There's 1,000 versions of you in every city, thinking that because you wear all black, I wear all black, I know I'm not special, because you wear all black even during the summer, that somehow people are scared of you. No one's scared of you because you put on a tool shirt and cut yourself.
That's true.
Having like a weird dopey mafia skeleton on your shirt doesn't make you scary. It doesn't make you edgy or cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mediocre movie where the character is unlikable, but everyone loves him anyways. And his whole thing is bitching and moaning about being too good at something. And that's his entire motivation. And that's supposed to be this amazing Christmas and Halloween movie that we're all supposed to love. Everyone in that movie looks like, except for Jack, everyone else looks like a nutsack with limbs. There are 60 characters. None of them are a complete person.
True.
There's no motivation for most of the characters. And they don't flesh out any of their bad. You don't know why everyone hates the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
He's just dopey in there. You don't know why Finkelstein is the only slave owner. He's just there. And then for no reason, he just gets over it. Like, she escapes, and then he sees her, and it's just like, I don't care anymore because I have this weird duck-faced lady now. There's no motivation for Oogie Boogie.
Nope.
He's just, I guess, a serial killer.
I guess. Who has an army of children waiting for him to take their victims, bring them to him.
The songs aren't good. The opening sequence is repetitive. The second song is just braggadocious bullshit. The third song is him stalking children. And then everything else is just like, here's a couple stanzas of the same thing over and over again. And then we're going to do it with the next song with a different. It's just repetitive. I don't even remember the other songs. I know there's, 8 or 10 songs in the movie?
Yeah, sounds about right.
I only remember the first three. And that's because they had weird things that stood out. Everything else is just kind of blended into the movie.
Yeah. All I can remember from it is This Is Halloween and What's This?
The What's This song is just him stalking children.
Right.
It's like he's discovering Christmas. And then it's him just popping up in their room while they're sleeping and then getting right by their face.
This is a creepy movie.
Also, this is one thing I will say to like direct the fans, because they're the ones that made this like bullshit theory that this, Coraline and Corpse Bride, are all supposed to be the same two characters and their dog. Just like, none of them are connected. None of the movies are connected other than the fact that it's a dude, a chick, and a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Which, Tim Burton and the guy that actually directed Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right.
They put all three of those things into that movie. But they've also put like a romantic subplot in every movie they've ever done.
Right. Romantic subplots are not a unique thing in movies. It's not like just because you do it with stop motion animated characters that you're breaking any new ground.
And the movies aren't connected. The fan theory is just a bullshit thing trying to like bring it back up into relevancy. Stop motion isn't impressive. You pick to do something the hard way, and it looks like shit.
Whoa, wait, hold. This is a whole other podcast we'll have to delve into for that. But I say that just because one of my favorite movies is a stop motion movie.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with stop motion if they make it good.
True.
I can agree. It's a lot of work. It's very hard to do a stop motion movie. It took them like weeks to do 1 minute worth of film or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
But if it doesn't look good, it's not worth it. It looks like Wallace and Gromit. But for goth kids, like it does. There's nothing about it that's visually appealing.
Wallow and vomit.
Wallow and vomit. Yeah.
That's what this is. Oh, God. Hey, listen, dude. Jacob Tremor, I appreciate that you have helped me shed the inner goth kid within me by realizing that this movie's not that great. And I hope that we have been able to be the voice of reason to some other folks.
Here's hoping I get to read all the hate mail that
Listen,
this generates.
I can't wait for to hear what people think about this episode. Send a message to either of us. Where's the best place they can contact you? Twitter, Instagram, all the stuff?
Facebook's the easiest one because that's probably the one I get like actual notifications on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Trimmer, I'm easy to find. It's me with devil horns and a yarmulke. It's a pretty easy to find picture. And then Instagram and Twitter, just Jacob M. Trimmer.
Wonderful. And if you can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram, jlightcomedy.com for show dates. I will be in Arkansas doing some shows around Little Rock the 17th, 18th, and 19th of May. So check the website for locations and times. Should be a lot of fun doing some headlining spots. Love doing a long set. And if you have anything to say about this show to either of us, please let us know because we love hearing from you guys. I love hearing from the blockheads about what they think about what's going on.
The blockheads?
The blockheads.
Not the busters?
Nah. The blockheads, man. Because they're... I don't know. It's I like it better. Don't you call my naming conventions into question. How dare you? This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.